Welcome to College Football Roundtable, your source for college football coverage, including major storylines,
playoffs,
can't miss game previews, and picks each week. Join your hosts, Dan, Rob, and Jordan at the roundtable for a show unlike anything else. As for Football presents the College Football Roundtable.
Hey, South Alabama decides to make a statement against Northwestern State University, and that seems to be counter to the trend of competitive programs not blowing out their lesser opponents. We'll talk about this. I think that's a topic for this week is what do we think when an elite team doesn't put them away? But welcome back, Trash Talkers, to the College Football Roundtable, or if you prefer, we just like to call it Ring Knocker Radio. I'm your host, Rob, in Fayetteville, North Carolina. We got Dano Icabesa. He is back from vacation. And Trigger Joe calling from the home of the big house. So, yeah, if you're PCSing to the Fort Liberty area, we have the realtor for you. We have Jocelyn Bradley. Jocelyn is a veteran who spent her career in the Army doing logistics. There she discovered her passion for making a difference in people's lives. She's committed to helping her clients find their dream homes when they are in the market, and she provides exceptional service to you when she's working for you. Jocelyn has an extended network of veteran realtors who can help support you move anywhere else in the country. So if you're in the market for a home, Jocelyn should be your first call. Jocelyn has decided to support us here at Ask for Football this season, and she is the right person to get you into the home of your dreams. She will work hard for you, find the right spot, and she's just an outstanding human being. So, you know, connect with her, find out how she can help, and she would be more than willing to assist you. Anyway, Dan, what games did you watch while we're waiting on Joe?
So I watched Arizona State at Texas State. That was one of the most entertaining games of the entire weekend on my tiny ass little screen that we had up in Maine. They had bolted the Wi-Fi right onto the side of the cabin. So we had excellent Wi-Fi, even though it wasn't fast. It was very strong connection. We got home. I watched Boston College at Mizzou, which is another outstanding game for about three quarters. LSU at South Carolina, which I turned off thinking that the Tigers were about to get blown out. And then I think you texted me and was like, no, turn it right back on. Yeah. And then my favorite game of the weekend by a mile was App State at East Carolina. Man, if you have not watched East Carolina play, they probably have the most talented team in the entire group of five. I mean, I cannot say enough for the talent that they got on that field, but they make at least as many mistakes as any team in all of college football, and it's insane. So ECU runs this hurry-up offense, and so they're trying to get as many plays as they possibly can, but they're not quite talented to pull that off the way Tennessee does. So they wind up with these insanely lopsided time of possession stats. This week, App State literally doubled them up on time of possession. The Mountaineers had it for 39 minutes versus the Pirates having it for 21. And still, at the end of 39 minutes of time of possession, App State still could not run a lick on that defense. It was incredible. Like, it was incredible. So with that, ECU had the ball late in the fourth quarter, down by two, with a chance to kick a field goal, threw an interception and lost. How do you like that?
Yeah. I mean, crazy. The hype is real, though, man. I mean,
ECU it really is real.
Significantly changed. I mean, like, what? I think they only won two games last year, and they're already, you know, 2-1.
Dude, they're incredible. That defense is freaking incredible.
Yeah, they looked pretty rough.
Yeah. I think that they're at like -8 on turnover margin, and that's the only reason why they're not like the number 10 team in the country.
Yeah, like they're playing incredibly well. So again, you know, the top secret stuff that they're passing around was literally, you know, everybody talk about it. Now they're doing it. So if they can keep up the momentum, like that's going to be part of a tough stretch for Army when they get down there, you know, because.
They should really beat Army badly. Listen, I believe in Jeff Munkin and I believe in Army, but that defense is legit. And they are really, really a good running defense. And they can definitely hang through that lopsided time of possession. That's a terrible matchup for the Black Knights. It really is. Yeah. Matt Scrivener says we're playing them at home, which we're going to need it.
Yeah. And again, that's one of the big advantages when Army does play at home is like somehow they get better. I am trying to get Joe into the room. He is having some technical difficulties. So
send this one to the Broadcast Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I know we're like tripping over ourselves, but yeah. So moving on, Dan, if you don't mind covering the service academies, and I will get you try and get you squared away.
I definitely will. Army had a bye this week, so the Black Knights are 2-0. They take on the Rice Owls at Mikey Stadium this Saturday with a noon kickoff. Army opened as a 4-point favorite, but they're now a 5.5-point favorite. I hate that. I hate everything about that. We'll see what they actually look like this weekend, and we'll obviously talk about that much more tomorrow. Navy also had a bye this week, which was insane. They take on Memphis at home this coming weekend with a 3:30 kickoff. The Mids are almost 10-point underdogs, and I think anybody that has seen that series would probably bet on the Mids to cover because they always play Memphis very, very tough. And finally, man, Air Force is god awful. They lost to Baylor 31-3 this week, which was insane because I think Baylor was only up by 3 points at the half. It was extremely competitive because Baylor just made every mistake in the book in the first half. In the second half, they came out, switched to a power running game, and just vaporized the Zoomies on both sides of the ball. That Air Force offense is not good at all. I mean, they are not good at all. By the end of the game, Air Force's defense had given up twice as many yards as Air Force's offense had managed to produce. So, I mean, obviously Baylor is a power four school and the Zoomies are the Zoomies, but I mean, this is like revenge of I don't know who, but yeah. Anyway, Coast Guard needed a second overtime to beat Anna Maria College 52-45 this past weekend. They are at Nichols College next week. Merchant Marine Academy defeated Gallaudet 55-7. That sounds about typical for them. They had 74 rushing attempts, 418 yards rushing. That is legit. They have a bye this week, and then they take on SUNY Maritime on the 28th of September. That is a big rivalry game for them.
Yeah, so that's good. Yeah, man, like Coast Guard taking a page out of Army's book, or Merchant Marines taking a page out of Army's book, 74 rushes. That's a lot. Like that is a lot of heavy lifting, you know, and 418 yards. I think they only had like 500 and some change and had like 55 yards passing or something like that. So moving on to around the American, I think the game of the week in the American is going to be Memphis against Navy. And that's just because I think that's the only legit matchup that we have coming up this week. You've got Memphis leading the series 6-3, and they've won the last five. It will be interesting to see what the Memphis defense can do against the Sling T. Like, Navy has been moving the ball pretty well with their new offense. So it is nice to see, you know, it's nice to see some good competition in the American, and the American is starting to become like one of the conferences to watch just because there's so much parity and the teams are doing well against each other. But for sure, I would take the under on this one, because although Navy can move the ball, they haven't been scoring a lot. So if you are looking to bet that one, I would take a hard look at the under on Memphis and Navy. Army takes on Rice, a different change with a different challenge from the QB position. So instead of a runner, you're going to have a passer, much, much better passer in the Rice QB in EJ Warner. I think this will be a good test, but again, Mikey Stadium kind of gives an edge towards Army. I think they're favored right now by like 6.5, and we'll see if that line moves towards the end of the week. And then Miami at USF, like USF played Bama well for a half, and then Bama woke up and realized that they're actually, you know, one of the best teams in the country. However, you know, Memphis is a pretty legit team, and I know that they've moved into the driver's seat as like the team that's being talked about most in the AAC, but USF is not far behind, and depending upon how well they play against Miami, we'll see how it goes. And again, they've got a solid team. And then there's a note down here. Plus, you know, we got East Carolina at Liberty. That should be interesting because East Carolina is on the way up. I think they're trending upward. Liberty is lukewarm at best, maybe trending down. FAU at UConn, that should be a better matchup. Dano, you'll probably have a lot more insights on that game because they'll be some local stuff.
That's a fascinating matchup, but it's like both of those teams haven't figured out what they want to be for when they grow up yet.
Yeah, for sure. And then you've got Tulane at 1-2 against Louisiana. And I tell you what, Tulane is better than their record shows, even though we're early in the season. Do not be surprised that they are a solid, you know, 7-5 or 8-4 by the end of the year, because Tulane always seems to adjust and pull it out. But all that being said, welcome to the show, Joe. Sorry about all the technical difficulties. We got you in. Hopefully you're not too triggered.
at a different, nope, at a different location today. So using a different device, and it didn't want to jive. It wanted to take me to a different studio. You guys weren't in it. And I was like, that's not my studio. Hey, you guys not coming?
Yeah. We didn't want to leave you hanging. So what did you watch this weekend, Joe?
You know, I watched a really sloppy Michigan game. They've got quarterback problems against an Arkansas State team that just wouldn't go away. And then I watched, apparently the Irish woke up and made Purdue pay for the sins of Northern Illinois. And I think Notre Dame just scored again. Then I watched who I think the best team in the country is right now. And it wasn't much of an opposition, but Texas, what an embarrassment of riches they have at quarterback. Quinn Ewers goes down. Arch Manning comes in and scores 8 touchdowns on 3 plays. And he's now a superhero. So I think it's Texas all the way as far as the best team right now. That was the extent of it, because then I got ready for UFC 306 on Saturday and watched that in the evening time. So I watched the 12 and the 3 o'clock games, and then I missed some of the night games. But
yeah, I will tell you, you know, we're going to talk about this, and Dan and I were talking about this at the beginning of the show. So Texas is notorious for doing that, having like these two like marquee quarterbacks year after year. And we're going to talk about one of their former guys, like Major Applewhite. Like, dudes love that guy at the place. Like, you knew who Major Applewhite was. And I think he played like 4 games maybe total as a starter at Texas, because he was behind like Chris Sims, I believe it was. And everybody knew who he was. Like, hey, put Major Applewhite in. Now this guy's a coach. Very young coach, too, by the way. And for those of you guys that watch college football, he is the coach of the University of South Alabama. So we will get into that a little bit later when we dive into the topic. But I think, honestly, Quinn Ewers jinxed himself being in that Dr. Pepper commercial that he was like, oh, no, I don't need a backup.
I thought the same thing, not to cut you off, but when I saw him say that, I thought, bro, you better knock on wood, man. That's it's like the Madden cover for NFL players. It's like, I don't know if I'd be talking about my backup before the season even gets underway.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, speaking of that, it's interesting to see, you know, what is going on in college football, just because, again, like we're talking about it. That's a big topic of teams just not getting it done. And we're seeing teams that are like completely not living up to the hype, but we're also starting to see teams that like nobody expected come out of nowhere. And that's a good note from Matt. Matt says Major Applewhite was at Houston. We all know how that ended. Yes, that was probably the most.
It's a Colonel Applewhite at Houston, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, that was one of the most severe freaking beatings I ever seen by Army football, which is okay. You know, like, hey, as long as they're losing to Army, I don't care how poorly they play. But speaking of poor play, we are going to move into the Blue Falcon of the week. So, Joe, let us know who is in the ring of infamy at the end of week 3 of college football.
You know, once again, I'm going to do the Monday morning quarterback and say one that, you know, there's quite a few Americans that are saying this this Monday. It's my Blue Falcon this week's an easy one, and it gets me kind of heated. It's the officials and the officiating, mainly the roughing the passer calls that changed the game, like LSU South Carolina, or a face mask penalty that got called on Kentucky as Kentucky's running back got his helmet thrown into the fifth row by a Georgia linebacker. It got called against Kentucky. I honestly think the officials got whistle happy after what happened to Tua Tagovailoa in the Miami versus Buffalo game on Thursday night. There's all this concussion talk, and I think that the NCAA literally looked like they told these guys, hey, treat every quarterback like he's Tom Brady. And you saw a lot of whistles getting blown that didn't make any sense. I mean, I can name several instances of roughing the quarterback to change the game. LSU throws a 100-yard pick 6 that would have sealed the deal for South Carolina. And Nussmeier gets blocked in the shoulder by 2 hands when he's chasing the play, which means he's a defender and no longer even a passer. And they still call them for roughing the passer because he hit the ground like he got shot. The roughing the passer against Oregon versus Oregon State was a helmet hitting an elbow as it was throwing the ball. Now tell me, how is it roughing the passer if the quarterback hasn't released the ball and your helmet is at the same level as his elbow? If you can figure that one out, you're smarter than me. Indiana kid had a beautiful sack where he crushed the quarterback with a textbook hit, and they called him for roughing the passer. And the cherry on top of the sundae a Florida player got called for targeting when his helmet hit the guy directly between the ass cheeks. Now, I know that sounds funny, mainly because it is, but it's 100% true, unfortunately. They called a targeting penalty and ejected a player because of a butt tackle. If we were in court right now, I believe I'd stop and say, Your Honor, I think I've proved my case. So for the officiating crews that are averaging one whistle per every three exhales, come get your T-shirts, boys, because you're in the Blue Falcon crew for the week. And stop changing the game. Let the players win it.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that, like, in the offseason, we're going to have to find somebody that officiates some college or even high school or professional football, somebody. Because one of the things that, you know, you always hope that the officiating is even, if not a part of the game at all. You know, and I would prefer to let the players play and let, you know, the play on the field determine who wins the game. We've had some unfortunate incidents, like, you know, you outlined, Joe, of referees getting involved when they probably shouldn't have. And I get it, like, player protection, that's what they're there for. But you also have, like, at the beginning of every game, the captain sit down with the officiating crew. Hey guys, this is what we're looking for. These are the things that we're going to call. Hey, if you don't want us to call this stuff, make sure you keep it clean and keep it above board. And it's the typical discussion that everybody has at the beginning of a football game. And it's unfortunate that you never want a referee's decision to impact the outcome of the game. And there was quite a bit of that, you know, this week. It's unfortunate, but hopefully they can get it worked on and squared away, because like you hate to see a team like play hard and then lose because of a really bad call. And
yeah, I didn't have any stake in the game, the LSU South Carolina game, but South Carolina played their butts off and they probably deserved to win that game, unfortunately. And they didn't.
Yeah. And that's like the first time that they've lost at home against LSU in like forever. I think it was like 25 or 30 years that it had been, because they usually win that game at home.
And that was a backbreaker, 100-yard pick six. I mean, that was it. They had them.
Yeah. And talk about a shift in momentum for sure. All right. So let's roll down the AP top 10, Joe. If you don't mind, carry this to the end. We'll talk about some other stuff too.
I totally agree with the number one, the Longhorns. Role, and Arch Manning filled in for an injured Quinn Ewers, like Brady did for Bledsoe. UT rolls 56-7 over UTSA, and they are the number one team in the country. The Bulldogs deserve to drop a spot, as they had a real scare on the road against Kentucky, but eventually prevailed 13-12. They're going to need to hammer out those wrinkles. No change with Ohio State at number three here, as Ohio State played about the same level of toughness in an opponent as they did last week, because they were off on Saturday. See what I did there? Yeah. Get ready for the vaunted thundering herd of Marshall Buckeye fans. Hopefully they can come out of that gauntlet of a non-conference schedule unscathed. if you're picking up the sarcasm, it's because I'm laying it on pretty thick. Bama is at four. The Crimson Tide went into Camp Randall in a tough place to play and whooped the Badgers as they pulled away in the second half, 42-10. Ole Miss, the Rebels are in the five spot after thumping Wake Forest on the road, 40-6. Ole Miss has looked pretty good. The Tennessee Volunteers moved to six as they committed a Class B felony on Saturday by absolutely assaulting Kent State, 71-0, and that is a number. Missouri, unfortunately, dropped a spot as the Tigers hosted a tougher than usual Boston College squad and came out with a hard fought victory, 27-21. Somehow they were rewarded for dropping the spot, but nonetheless, the Tigers are rolling. Miami moves up two spots to number eight. Speaking of beatings that could be considered a crime, the Hurricanes throttled Ball State 62-0 as Cam Ward goes video game numbers once again, 385 yards, five touchdowns, no picks. Cam Ward stays healthy. Cam Ward's going to New York at the end of the season. The Oregon Ducks are in at number nine. They look like a different team from week to week as they go into an undefeated Oregon State team in a rival game and handled business 49-14. Looks like Oregon might be figuring it out. And at number 10, Penn State was idle, and they bumped down two spots because there were some pretty good performances from teams that deserve to leap them. So the Nittany Lions should have an easy victory next week because they got 0-3 Kent State.
Yeah, oof, that's rough. All right, moving on to the top 25 losses. So for the year, we're at 12. Normally, we're way deeper in the season when that happens, but you did have a key matchup. Arizona, number 20, Arizona dropped one to K-State, 31-7, and then you had Boston College losing to Mizzou, 21-27, and that was a much closer game. The one thing I will say before we get into the topic is, you know, the play of Castellanos has improved significantly. Like if you watch him as a quarterback from last year to this year, that guy's made significant improvements and it's showing on the field. You know, he's making better decision making and he's not trying to beat teams with just his legs. Like he's climbing the pocket like a good passing quarterback should, which is contrary to the way that he played last year. But moving on to the topic, and we've had a lot of discussion about this on the Firsty Club and everything else, but what are your thoughts on, like, quote, and I say elite teams, because we're seeing a lot of teams that are getting by the skin of their teeth against opponents that shouldn't even be close. You know, perfect example being, you know, Notre Dame losing to NIU, but even worse, like, UGA not being able to get anything going against Kentucky. Is there something that we're missing? Or is it something that is going on in college football with all the changes? We'll start with Dano and then move to Joe.
I don't think that Georgia example is a good example because that is an in-conference game against a rival that you play every year. That game looks like that every single year. And Georgia has a game exactly like that every single year. That's just not early half of the season. Georgia is not late half of the season. Georgia. Take that for what it's worth. And especially early in the season, a win is a win, man. And that's doubly true in the transfer portal era. You know, you got half the players on these college football teams suddenly find themselves on new teams. There's no, you might have a ton of athleticism there, but there's just no chemistry. And I mean, yes, you would like to be the Volunteers and vaporize your cupcakes and, you know, put up 72-0 or whatever the hell they did against Kent State. But that's just not how it goes every single week. And I think the Vols are for real, but Georgia actually played somebody. Tennessee hasn't actually played anybody yet. And, you know, NC State, they very much did not look like anybody again this week. So, you know, yes, it's better to win big, but a win is a win, especially in September.
All right, that's fair. Joe, what about you?
Yeah, you know, I think it depends on several factors. Like, you know, number one, the team – you know, are they up 35 at halftime and decide to sit all their starters so the other team gets a backdoor cover and it looks closer on paper? Is there a big injury like a Brock Bowers or something and your team hasn't really, you know, because one or two players can take you right out of your offense. And if you lose your captain on defense, that can really throw off a lot of the line calls. And it can be like a 14, you know, 21 point swing in some cases. Did they have a short week and a long plane ride, or do we have a preparation problem? I feel like every elite team has one bad game a season, and Georgia just had theirs, even though I agree with Dano that Kentucky is one of the teams that's the antithesis of this. A lot of times they'll play up where they're 20-point dogs, and Kentucky's known for doing that. So, and you're Georgia. You got a target on your back. The difference is if they continue to struggle, then maybe they're just not elite, because sometimes that elite tag gets thrown out and it's fraudulent. And we don't know until something like Texas versus Michigan happened a couple weeks ago. And that was painful to say. But a lot of times these first 3 weeks, we don't necessarily know who's elite. And it's tough to call that pregame, because I believe a lot of times it takes about 6-7 weeks for you to be like, okay, they're healthy. They've got it rolling. They're on a 3-game streak where no one's come close, that they're elite. So right now, I think there's maybe two or three teams that I would call elite that don't necessarily have an opponent other than each other that would give them a game.
Yeah. And for me, it's a mixed bag. So you see something like South Alabama, you know, hanging like the highest score in college football. I think it's the highest score in FBS in like 20 or 30 years against the FCS school, you know, sad for the FCS school that, you know, they take it on the chin, they get a nice check, but like that's a beating and you've got the rest of your schedule to put up. So you got to, you know, figure out how to, you know, play competitively early in the season and keep your team organized because, you know, you got the rest of the season to play, whether it be an FCS opponent or a group of five opponent, you have to keep it together as best as you can because you still need the reps, right? You have to get the reps and sets in order to win. So like, it's difficult to say that. I also have to say, you know, look at Notre Dame losing to NIU, and then you watch what they did this week, and like Riley Leonard was a madman. So it's like, hey, what happened? What did you guys not see in those first 2 weeks that made you not want to, you know, put the team on that kid's back and let him just run it every time early and often, you know, and give him a breather if he, you know, if he's calling for the oxygen, give him a break. But you know, Riley Leonard showed up in that game and like Notre Dame looked like a completely different organization from like 1 week. And nobody expects to see that, you know, again, if you're an elite team, you probably can make that level of improvements in a week's time. But if they would have put half as much effort against NIU as they did this week, they probably would have won that game by two scores, let alone losing it by the way that they did. It's weird to me. That's all. It's kind of frustrating. And like we've seen FSU, FSU's done. Like we're no longer talking about them. They are also ran. They took themselves from, you know, being an undefeated team to now they're on a four-game losing streak, right? Yeah. Elite teams don't have four-game losing streaks, period. Like that just doesn't happen. Like you're not going to see, you know, you're not going to see Georgia drop two in the same season. You know, you're not going to see Ohio State or Michigan drop two in the same season without something catastrophic happening to the program.
Drop two.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. But you also had something catastrophic happen to the team. You know, the head coach leaves. You got a whole bunch of new people in position. And like, what was it, 17 players?
They were going to say they break the record for players drafted. You know, you can't.
Yeah.
You had to know that was coming with Michigan. But just to touch on your point, the crazy part is 2 weeks ago, if we all had to pick Purdue versus Northern Illinois, we're all picking Purdue.
Yeah, for sure.
And look at the difference in 2 weeks, what Notre Dame did to those two teams. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I'm saying. It's like I don't understand. And again, I'm not in the locker room, but if I'm a coach and I know that I have a talented player like Riley Leonard, who has started, I think it was like 22 games at Duke, like ride the guy, man, like, you know, ride the hot hand. And I'm taking the Mike Shanahan, you know, page out of his book is like, if I got a guy that's a workhorse, I'm going to work him, you know, until other people kind of show up and show that. And then on the flip side of that, it's like, all right, FSU, now you're 0-3. Can we stop starting DJ? The dude's terrible, right? So at some point as a coach, you have to look at your team and assess your players and just be like, okay, what are we doing? Because it's just like, wow, like what is going on here? And you know, I don't know. It shouldn't be happening. But that being said, credit to their opponent for showing up for the game and not playing to the level of their opponents, because I think that's also part of it too. And that was one of the comments that Coach Saban had this weekend about Bama. He's like, they've got to stop playing big ball. And what happens is they're winning with all the explosive plays because Alabama is like the number one team in the country for explosive plays over 20 yards plus. But it's all those small intermediate, like, hey, if I'm 3rd-and-2, I can't get a conversion. All right, that sucks, but I'm getting touchdowns on 1st-and-10 because Jaden Milroe's got a cannon. So it's like, yeah, you've got to strike that balance to be consistent so you can get ball control. But one of the things that I absolutely saw this week is the running teams did significantly better than the teams that were trying to throw all week. And so I think that you know, the rule change in college football that's kind of educating people towards the passing game is starting to backfire, because the teams that had lots of rushing yards, like 200 plus, most of them won this week.
Yeah. That's how you get a defense to cheat up. Like how do you beat coverage? You get the safeties to start taking 4 or 5 steps towards the line, 'cause they're worried about 7 and 8 yard chunk runs, and then you throw it over their head. So, I mean, you got to run to set up the pass. Otherwise they're just going to run nickel defense at you and pick you off 3 times like Arkansas State did to Michigan.
Yeah. Well, and here's the other one, like, doggone it, man. Like, look, I will tell you this. If you watch Peyton Manning trying to run and Arch Manning trying to run, like, there's a difference. He got some better genes in that Manning family tree, because when he took off, he was gone. I was like, dude, like, he is not related to Peyton Manning, because Peyton Manning looked like a wounded duck running towards the end zone, and Arch Manning looked like an athlete.
Yeah. You know that Peyton Manning naked bootleg that he ran that 1 year with, like, no one in the stadium was like, Peyton's going to run this in, even the defense. He was like 15 steps out off the line before they looked and were like, he kept the ball. And then you got Arch Manning running a 10-600 and throwing the 2-step on a safety and breaking his ankles. I was like, these guys aren't from the same family.
Yeah, there's no way. Yeah, check that kid's DNA to make sure he doesn't have something for the postman. Anyway, speaking
– good Lord.
Dano, could you do the next read for us?
So this show is sponsored by Craig Oxane, Vice President of Residential Lending for New American Funding in Chicago. Craig is a member of the West Point class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states, based out of Chicago. Friends, he is one of the most successful VA lenders in the country. Craig is going to give you the best deal he possibly can. And that is important because the whole mortgage process is freaking super confusing. Interest rates move all over the place. You don't know. Is now the best time to lock in or not? You know, this is not the time when you're trying to buy a house to deal with some clown who's just trying to make a buck off you. You want to deal with somebody who cares about you, not a call center, not some random big box bank or a mindless website. And friends, this is how the West Point Network actually functions. Craig is helping us stay in business here at As for Football, and we're helping you get the best deal on a mortgage that we possibly can by introducing you to the very man you need to meet when you're trying to buy a house or refinance your house. Plus, and this is important, Craig does not charge lending fees for veterans. That's a huge savings, like $1,300. Friends, get that money. Craig Oxane, Vice President of Residential Lending. Check him out. Links on our website. Just go to askforfootball.com. He's got a little business card there. Click on that. Type your stuff in. You'll be talking to him in a couple of hours.
All right. We're going to move on to the games of the week. Hey, gentlemen, this one's going to be a good matchup, and it's on Thursday, so do not forget to tune in for this one. You got South Alabama and App State. That's going to be a great game. It's a good thing that it's the only thing on Thursday night, because I think that'll be better than the Thursday night football contest in the NFL. Just my thoughts. Moving on to Friday, you've got Illinois and Nebraska at 8 o'clock on Fox. I think that'll be a good matchup as well. Nebraska is heating up, and Illinois is undefeated, so I think that'll be a good matchup for those two contests. And if you want to stay up late, you've got San Jose State and Washington State kicking off at 10 o'clock again on the CW. That's just weird. That seems awkward to say that, but hey, this is how we roll in college football these days. Starting with the early games, it's kind of weird because they've have windows of time now depending upon when games are ending. So you've got Vanderbilt at number 6 Missouri. I think that'll be an interesting game. You've got UCLA at number 16 LSU. Do we even care? In American competition, you've got Charlotte and Indiana. That's on the Big Ten Network at noon. You've got Tulane and Louisiana at on ESPNU. Moving down, you've got Ohio State at Marshall. Hey, the Thundering Herd has pulled off some miracles before. I just don't know if that one will happen. You've got NC State and Clemson. That's almost an in-state rivalry, basically. So we'll see what happens. NC State is kind of limping along, and Clemson is playing to their competition, to the level of their competition. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens with them. Moving on, Rice at Army. That's going to be previewed tomorrow on the As for Football Army football show, but I think that'll be an interesting contest. They're playing at Mikey Stadium, and again, Mikey Stadium continues to be, you know, a sanctuary for the Black Knights. You got Arkansas State and Iowa State. I think that'll be a good game. Arkansas State is better than advertised. And then Iowa State, number 21, is going to see if they can hang on to that top 25 spot as they play those guys. You've got USC at Michigan. So you've got a struggling offense versus a prolific offense versus a team that has a defense versus a team that doesn't have a defense. So I think, you know, front seven play is going to be interesting to watch in that game, because Michigan's defensive line is better, I think, than USC's offensive line, but USC has edge athletes and they're going to score 20, 25 points. Not so sure how that one's going to go down. Michigan has to figure out their quarterback controversy, because if they have issues at the QB spot this week, USC will make them pay dearly versus by comparison to the other teams that they played as they're going into Big 18. This conference play, you know. So you got Miami of Ohio at Notre Dame. Let's go Red Hawks. Let's get another upset. Let's see. We got Memphis at Navy. I think that's going to be a really good contest. That's an early afternoon kick at 3:30. Memphis is good, man. Those guys are good. Navy is playing well this season as well. So it'll be a good matchup. We'll see who's O is going to go. You've got Buffalo at NIU at number 25. I'm going to be watching NIU this year just because of what they did to Notre Dame. I think they're going to be a sleeper this season. See if they can hold on to that top 25 spot. You got Georgia Tech at Louisville. I think that'll be a decent contest. Georgia Tech is trying to bounce back. Louisville is ranked 19. Haven't watched them play yet this season, so it'll be interesting to see what happens. You got Kent State against Penn State. I mean, that one, well, who knows? Because Penn State got scared by Bowling Green. I think Kent State is a little bit better than Bowling Green. We'll see on Saturday. You've got Utah and Oklahoma State, that's a Big 12 matchup, which just sounds odd to say that. In other other American action at 6 o'clock on ESPN Plus, you got East Carolina at Liberty and Florida Atlantic against Utah, which or UConn, which we mentioned earlier, Wyoming at North Texas. North Texas is, you know, one of those teams that's hanging around the top five of the Americans. So we'll see what happens. You got Miami at USF at 7. That'll be on ESPN or ESPN2. This will be another test for USF. If they're real, they'll keep it close. They're good at keeping it close in the first half. They're just not closing out the games. And they've already had a tough one against Bama. So we'll see what happens to them later on. Tennessee and Oklahoma. That's a SEC matchup now, which is still hard to believe and hard to say. But we'll see if Tennessee's contenders or pretenders after this week. I think Oklahoma is going to be a very good test for them. Michigan State at Boston College. I wouldn't have noted that game last week. This week, I think it's going to be a competitive contest. And rounding out the 10:30 kick at on ESPN, you've got Kansas State versus BYU. K-State has got some weapons in the running game, like some weapons. Their quarterback, I forget his name, the dude looks like Patrick Mahomes. And like he throws like Patrick Mahomes, and he's right up the street. So I would not be surprised if he's, you know, gone to a football camp or something that has worked on his technique. Cause like, and I am by no means like, I'm not a fan of Kansas, but K-State is a good team this season.
That's going to be a good game. BYU is actually playing really good football, and good on Kansas State for losing Will Howard and coming back and looking good the next year. Cause Will Howard was one of my favorite quarterbacks in the transfer portal. And I wished he would have ended up at Michigan. But man, what a great fit he is in Ohio State, but that's a hard guy to replace. And Michigan's trying to replace a guy like that, and they're not doing so well. So good on Kansas State for having the next man up mentality.
Yeah, he showed up, and I think that's one of the things too, man. Player development for the team, for the guys that stay, like how much trust, faith, and confidence do those players have in those coaches when they stay? You know, like Will Howard leaving, like a grad transfer, like I mean, that's hard to, you know, that's hard to really judge. You know, like, hey, this guy's going to transfer in the, you know, into a school that he's always wanted to go to, like his dream school. He's not going to play there for 2 or 3 years or whatnot. But always interesting to see how teams are going to recover, particularly now. And, you know, and everybody's calling it free agency in college football, which we were calling it 2 years ago. But, you know, now everybody's starting to realize like that really does impact the team, and like trying to find leadership. Like we know those guys can lead in the locker room that they just left. But trying to assimilate into a completely different team culture is very, very hard to do. So we'll see how it goes for the rest of the season, but we will pause for a second and get into our weekly locks.
Weekly locks.
All right. Who are we picking this week, guys?
Okay. I went 1-2 again last week, and I am hanging right in there at 33 1/3%, but I now got to be 6 or 8 games in the hole, which is just, you know, I've been 1-2 every single damn week, and it's very frustrating. Picked Arizona State at Texas over 58.5. That hit, but Coastal Carolina beat Temple barely, and FIU at FAU went way over 44. Those are both weird results, and I don't know what to make of them just yet. This week, for what it's worth, I don't think you want to ride with me, but Florida at Mississippi State under 56.5. I just don't have a lot of faith in either of these offenses. Who knows, maybe Florida's defense will give up 56. As I said earlier in the show, I'll take Navy plus 9.5 hosting Memphis. That game is always way closer than the line. I mean, literally set your watch by the fact that that game is closer than the line. And then we talked about this, East Carolina at Liberty over 54. I got to believe that this is the week the Pirates get it on track and light the scoreboard on fire. If it's not this week, it's definitely going to occur this season. That team, this game just in general should be electric, but I'm telling you, the Pirates, that offense, one of these weeks is going to drop 70 on somebody.
Yeah, they look good. Joe, how about you?
Yeah, I like that Navy pick, Daniel. I agree. Memphis very well could have lost to Florida State, and I think Navy keeps it close. But I went 2-2 last week. Two of my home underdogs, rightfully so, they got whooped. Oregon State obviously didn't cover the 16.5. And we all know Purdue didn't cover anything. However, South Carolina should have won outright against LSU, but they covered the 7, and the Texas Longhorns easily covered 34.5 against UTSA. So I got 4 picks this week. Pick 1, I'm going right back to the well with Michigan's last opponent, and I'm taking Arkansas State plus 20.5 against Iowa State. The Cyclones are averaging 20.5 total points a game through their first 2 or first 3, but if Arkansas State Michigan couldn't cover 20 points against them at home, I don't think that Iowa State does. They'd like to slow it down. So pick 1 is Arkansas State plus 20.5. Pick 2, I'm taking the Miami Hurricanes on the road against South Florida minus 16.5. It seems like anytime Miami plays another in-state school that it's a low-key rivalry game, and Cam Ward is just lights out right now. Miami's rolling people. Pick 2, Miami minus 16.5. Pick 3 is a painful one, and I wouldn't mind being wrong here, but I've got to go with Southern Cal minus 5.5 on the road against Michigan. I don't claim to be an expert on everything, but I do believe I'm the closest thing to a Michigan football expert that I can be. And I've watched every play they've played so far this season, and I've seen 2 of USC's games and against solid opponents. And if they can beat LSU by a touchdown, then I think they can do the same thing to Michigan, as Michigan's offense will not be able to keep up. Their defense will gas. I think USC pulls away in the mid third quarter, early fourth quarter, and it's a 2-score game. Hate it, but we'll call that the turncoat pick. Pick 4, this ought to be fun because I'm taking Army. They're minus 5 against Rice at home, and I think they get it done. The Black Knights have the run game going and playing well. And after that Florida Atlantic victory, I feel like they got the defense going as a well-oiled machine also. And I've got Army making it to 3-0, winning by 10. Pick 4, Army minus 5 and minus 5.
Awesome. All right. Good call. All right. So me moving on. I'm 2-4 on the season, which hurts, but Memphis won outright against FSU. So that one they definitely covered. And then Arkansas State and Michigan scored 46 points, and I think it was like 47.5. Michigan's offense better this week, but like not by much. I mean, they still made a lot of – they have execution errors. And I think that's what's going to hurt them. And like I said, against a lesser team, they can bounce back from those picks. Against the team that's is a little bit higher quality, I think it's going to be pretty rough for them. So this week I got 3 picks. So I said take the under 64.5 of South Alabama against App State. That's an in-conference matchup. App State is a pretty decent ball control team, so I think they'll play keep away. So I'm going to say it's probably going to be like 55-60 points, but I don't think they'll bust 64.5 between the two of them. I mean, I like South Alabama's offense, but I think I have a little bit more faith in the App State defense in that one. Take JMU to cover 10.5. I think this game is going to come down to the wire. UNC looks decent against not so great competition, but JMU is not so great competition. I think JMU is a much better team than advertised. I think they will go down there. Since they've moved to FBS, they've been clocking people. So do not be surprised if this one's close or JMU gets the outright win against UNC at home. Like it's going to be rough. The UNC offense is just not as good as it was. They are missing Drake May in the worst kind of way possible. And then I'm going to go counter to Dano's first pick.
Oh, wow.
Or no, I'm sorry. I'm going to go take the over of 65.5 Ole Miss and Georgia Southern. Like Ole Miss's offense is in fuego right now. They've scored 178 points in 3 weeks. Make it 4 weeks. they're going to score 55-60 points. I mean, Georgia Southern's offense is decent, but like Lane Kiffin is out to prove a point that he is not just an offensive mind. So if he has a chance to dump on you, he's going to dunk on you. And so if they can score 70, they'll score 70. I think it'll probably be like a 55-14 kind of win. And Georgia Southern will get some scrap time window dressing, and that's what's going to cause the backdoor cover on the over. Like I said, Ole Miss is a juggernaut. I don't think Georgia Southern's defense is going to be anything but a speed bump for them. And take the over. Anyway, if you are not part of the Firsty Club, you are missing out on our picks league. Shout out to Matt for freaking managing the thing this season.
Oh my God, he saved the picks league single-handedly.
Yeah. So we were very appreciative of that because, again, the service that we were using went under. And so now we are doing it manually again, and we appreciate the help with that. But, hey, if you are not part of the Firstie Club, take a look at our Patreon at As for Football and sign up. You will get a lot more insider information that we get. You'll get it early. You'll get early access to podcasts. And we have the Army Football Show will be open for the members of the Patreon every week for you guys to interact with us during the show. This is the end of the College Football Roundtable. I am your host, Rob, in Fayetteville, North Carolina. We've got Dano Icabesa calling to you out of coastal Connecticut. And we've got Trigger Joe calling from the home of the Big House. Thanks for joining us this week. And again, tune in for the Ask for Football Army Football Show tomorrow. And for those of you that care, beat Navy.
Beat Rice.
Beat them. Thanks for joining us on the Ask for Football College Football Roundtable. Special thanks to our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. If you're buying or selling, reach out to Jocelyn for expert service. If you enjoy the show, please consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/askforfootball. Your support will help keep the lights on and bring in more great content. Plus, you'll get access to exclusive perks and behind the scenes extra. Thanks for being a part of the Ask for Football community. Go Army, beat Navy, and we'll catch you guys next week.